The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
We're doing pretty good over here. And yourself?
Just trying to stay dry here in wet, wonderful Windsor.
Oh, it's raining on this Sunday morning?
Well, it's recording day, and it's raining on that day.
I haven't even looked outside.
You haven't even looked outside? You have what? You have your shades pulled over all your windows?
I have no time to look outside.
Well, you don't have to actually look. It's kind of like you just soak it in.
Yeah, soak is the right word, I guess.
Yeah, you soak in your outdoor environment through your windows.
Just soak it all in.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else going on, Big JD? Just
work as usual. It's crazy, man. I just had to turn down doing a shoot for Tease next weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't have time. I'd really like to do it, but I've got some other commitments and not much I can do.
They got a live gig somewhere and they want you to...
Yeah, it's a reunion show at the Walkerville Theater, which is actually sold out. But there's a film company in BC that's putting together some documentary teaser or sizzle, you know, to approach CBC, who is showing some interest in possible documentary on, you know, for TV about the reunion. And they asked me if I get some footage on Friday and Saturday, and, you know, the 24 hours leading up to the show, whatever. But I hooked him up with somebody else to take care of their needs, which I'm sure he will well provide, and everything should be cool.
Awesome. Can't wait to see how all that pans out.
And if you're into Tease, or you've never heard of Tease, perhaps, check out tease.ca for the video of Heartless World that I edited for them. It's their only official music video release at this point. We'll be back. So you are listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning, and today we have a doozy for you.
It's a doozy. We're going to be talking about the end of life. It's the end of life show. Yeah, and this is one of your ideas, one of your cockamamie ideas.
I was thinking this morning, like, why are we doing this? No, it's not bad. And I think we'll talk about end of life as we know it, and end of life for humans, and I think pets, animals.
You listen to Big JD and Lippo in the morning. We're talking about end of life. Have you ever thought of not being here anymore, Big JD?
I have to say, I think of it more these days.
Because of your health or?
No, it's just because of age, I think.
Oh, I see.
I think of it more often and think about all the things that I'm not going to be able to finish or accomplish before, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how much time we have left.
Well, you're a very prolific songwriter and fortunately a recorder of the music that you create. So you're going to be leaving a big enough legacy as it is. And even though you don't have a genetic legacy to leave behind, you'll have a musical one that will last as long as there's such thing as digital music, I guess.
Are you saying you want to have a baby with me?
No, that wouldn't be good.
Okay, there's another dream crushed.
No, I think as we get older, many of our peers, not maybe many, but some of our peers, die because, you know, things happen to them. And it's events like this that I believe make us think about our own mortality.
Sure. Yeah, especially with, you know, when you talk about the peers or folks that we grew up with and celebrities and things like that, too.
Yeah, for sure. So these things that, you know, you just had around in your life, we take for granted a lot of times. And then the next thing you know, they're not there anymore. And it really can send you for a jolt and make you realize that as humans, we all have a shelf life as well. And that shelf is the planet Earth.
Yeah, so you want to stop and smell the flowers or coffee or what have you along the way, because life is short.
Yep, and we're all going to be dead. Speaking of all dead, we're going to be listening to some Queen. All dead, all dead.
She came without a father, a babe without a name. So much ado about nothing is what she tried to say. So much ado, my lover. So many games we played through every fleeted summer, through every precious day. All dead, all the dreams we had. And I wonder why I still live on. All dead, and alone I'm spared. My sweetheart instead.
We're back, and you're listening to Big JD and Lipo in the Morning. We're talking about end of life on the show today, and things that kind of go hand in hand with that, like possibly end of life care, which refers to health care, not only of a person in the final hours or days of their lives, but more broadly, care of all those with a terminal condition that has become advanced, progressive, and incurable.
Right. It kind of boggles my mind that we're in this day and age, and it should be relatively easy for everyone to die with dignity, you would think, right? And to go like they want to go. Like, you know, if you have something that's really bothering you, like a cancer or something, you know, that you could really, it could be horrible in your last days, that we wouldn't have something in place for everybody that, okay, you got to go here and this is how it's all going to be. And you're going to, you know, you're going to be in no pain and you're going to go in a civilized way, I guess, is a way to look at it.
Yeah, and something on the other end of that, on the other side of that coin, I guess, is that we, in this day and age, don't have cures for so many things. And some things I believe that we probably do have cures that are not being released, but save that for the conspiracy show. But I think that, we can't even really cure a headache, let alone some of these other things that we should be able to cure by now, you would think or hope.
Save it for the conspiracy show. I like that. We had. Are we doing a conspiracy show? Because that could be like the. We should name a month. The month of July is going to be conspiracy month. We'll pick one every week and do it.
Yeah, yeah. Nice idea.
Yeah, for sure. The problem is, of course, pharmaceutical companies are. They'd be out of business if they started making cures for people, and that's at least the way they look at it. But I think if you keep people on Earth longer, you know, they have a chance of getting something else that you can possibly help us with. But it doesn't seem to be that way. And, you know, there's so many other things we could say about the powers that be and how it affects our, you know, the way that we leave this planet. And it's really a shame that we don't have more control over those types of things. And it should all be in place, I think, you know, for every single eventuality that could possibly happen. You know, if I get in a really bad accident and this happens to me, I want this to happen. Or if I get cancer and I only have so many days to live, I want to have this happen. You know, all that should be in place for you. So it's all you got to do is decide when you're of sound mind, and then you're good to go. So you have maybe a little more peace of mind knowing what those final days are going to be like.
Yeah, and there's a couple things with that. And one is that, I mean, you're kind of getting towards like your own pre-planned or assisted suicide type thing. Like, I remember Jack Kevorkian, who got himself in quite a bit of trouble actually at one point. And we never heard from him again as far as doing those things. So I don't know if he actually continued doing assisted suicides. And he was from Michigan, right?
Right, but he went to prison.
Yeah, he went to prison, but...
And then he came out, and I don't think he... Once that happened, I don't think he... Yeah. Once he got out, I don't think he wanted to go back in. So I think he laid low.
I don't think there was anything wrong with what he was doing at all.
Of course not.
It was it was all planned. It was all documented. They, you know, his interviews were all video recorded, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was all on the up and up, as it were. I mean, he was a regular doctor, and he was just someone who believed in some kind of compassion, and that's all it really boils down to.
He's doing something. He was an innovator, you know, before his time, I think. At some point, I think it's going to be a commonplace thing.
Absolutely. And what do you think was going on, let's say, 200 years ago, before we even had pharmaceuticals and chemotherapy and the hospitals that we do? They, you know, grandpa's getting ill and he's, you know, he's not talking anymore. So, you know, they would give him a cup of tea, and next thing you know, we're going to his funeral, basically.
There goes grandpa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nothing was, you know, no one got arrested or, you know, everybody was in an uproar or anything. It's just the way it went, because it was all within a little, you know, a small area. Transportation wasn't what it is now either. So I think we've really reverted as we, you know, come along as a civilization. We've gone somewhere that I think we...
That really no man has gone before.
Well, we went away from those values of 200 years ago, and where it was compassionate. You know, you really cared about your loved ones, and usually back then you went to your kid's house to, you know, spend your last days. You know, that was a common thing. Your elders came and lived with you, and you know the grandchildren would interact with these people on a regular basis and learn a lot of life lessons. And I think that is sorely missing as the situation is now. You know, we take our elderly and we put them away somewhere. Whereas back in the day, there was no somewhere else. You had to take care of those people, and you had to bring them into your house and see them to their dying days.
And speaking of lessons, the number one killer, death. And to prove that, this is Motorhead, Killed by Death.
You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning. That was Lemmy singing about the reason that we all die. Death.
Death, yeah.
End days. For a lot of people, this usually involves a palliative care and hospice care. And or hospice care. You can have both, I suppose. Do you know what the difference between the two are, Big JD?
So as far as palliative care goes, doctors can provide treatment to seriously ill patients in the hopes of a cure for as long as possible. And these patients may also receive medical care for their symptoms or palliative care along with curative treatment. So it's kind of like taking care of somebody.
And there is a possibility that you may get out of palliative care and go on living a normal life.
It's right.
Depending on what the situation is. But it's a certain level of care that where some people definitely don't come out of. Whereas hospice it's basically where a lot of people go and spend their final days.
That's where you know you're, I think, going to pass away, and you're just
right.
made comfortable for whatever little length of time that is. You would technically, go from palliative care to hospice.
You can, but you can also spend your last days in palliative care as well, depending on, you know, what the situation is, in your, you know, municipality. The nice thing about hospice is it's a comfortable place, and it's a good place for, you know, your family members can go in there and visit you. And, you know, as a family member that you, you know, they're being taken care of.
Yes. It's really more about like the treatment. So at some point, it may not be possible to cure a serious illness, or a patient may choose not to undergo certain treatments. So hospice is designed for that situation. The patient beginning hospice care understands that his or her illness is not responding to medical attempts to cure that illness or to slow the disease's progress. So then you're in hospice knowing that you're done.
Yeah. And, you know, it's oftentimes that can be a satisfying thing for the person who is going into hospice. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it can be a comfort.
For sure. Knowing that this is the place that it's all going to go down, and I'm going to be taken care of, and my family's going to be here, and there's going to be support staff.
Palliative care and hospice, so some other differences. And some questions that you might ask, like who can be treated? So with palliative care, it's anyone with a serious illness, and hospice, anyone with a serious illness whom doctors think has only a short time to live, often less than 6 months. Will my symptoms be relieved as much as possible in palliative care? And the same thing, really, as much as possible in hospice. They don't differ in that respect. And can I continue to receive treatments to cure my illness? If you wish, in palliative care, but in hospice, no, only symptom relief will be provided. They're not actually treating you anymore for your disease. The list is pretty extensive. Where will I receive this care? For both, you can receive at home, assisted living facilities, nursing homes, and then palliative care in a hospital, oftentimes hospice as well. And there's also hospice facilities.
Yes. Yep. And oftentimes those are manned by volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing to get into if you can. Maybe after you retire or something like that, it's a good way to help out. That might be a good option for you. Maybe after you retire, you know, go help out at a hospice, because, you know, you're going to be gone yourself and you'll be good as dead. Speaking of good as dead, this is Grady. Good as dead.
Let's say I'm rich on paper, but my pocket change is light. My teeth are sharp as razor, but my words have left a bite. Now have you seen my woman? Oh, say, how was she dressed? She's all decked out this morning in her Sunday best. Her dress was crimson too. I swear it had a little hole where her tail came poking through. Now you won't see her weeping, my woman dressed in red.
If she tells you that I'm sleeping, well, you know I'm good as dead. My past is in abundance, my future's in decline. Can't count the days I wait there, trying to please that Caroline. She keeps me on short tether, she feeds me from a tin.
From the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Today we're talking about end of life, all sorts of end of life, including the end of life of your pet. What happens at the end of a life of a pet?
Well, it could be very similar to humans, but it's a good thing that a lot of our pets don't last as long as us, because it can teach us some lessons, can teach your kids lessons as far as, you know, being attached to another living organism and it leaving these parts. And, you know, it helps your coping mechanism for when people start passing away, I think.
When we were talking about Kevorkian, though, this is exactly what we do with our pets. We bring them in to have them put to sleep because they're sick. We do it for them and not for ourselves.
I know. It doesn't make sense. It's the same thing. So you see your pet, oftentimes they just deteriorate. Some pets live, you know, way beyond the average age of a, you know, a dog or a cat, which is what most people have as far as pets go in North America anyway. And we don't want to see them in pain anymore, or just, you know, their quality of life is not much. You know, they can't get up to eat, or they just lay in their bed all day. And, you know, that's no one wants to do that. And they don't want to see their pet doing the same thing. So, yeah, we get them euthanized.
When cats and dogs are suffering, they may not show outward signs that we normally associate with pain, like whimpering or crying. Sometimes an animal will continue to eat or drink in spite of pain or disorientation. Some physiological and behavioral signs that your pet might be experiencing pain might include excessive panting or gasping for breath, reclusiveness, reluctance to move, and food pickiness. So you want to watch for some of these signs of a sick pet, because they might not be as obvious as one might think.
Right. Did you have a pet that you were particularly attached to that you can remember its final days?
We had some final day pets that, you know, a few pets that we had put to sleep, but our family never regarded pets as, you know, like a really a part of the family like a lot of people do, you know what I mean? It was just a pet, and they're fun, and if something went wrong or we had to have it put to sleep, it wasn't a huge deal, you know what I mean?
What would you just put it in the garbage can and just
no. Throw them in the river. No, I'm just kidding. Jeez, we'd take them to the Humane Society and have them put to sleep. We've had to do that a few times, actually.
Right.
One cat in the on a cold winter day got climbed up inside my dad's car motor and got sliced up when he started it in the morning. And then we had another pet that would another cat that was just very troublesome and fought all the time and was all scraped and scarred and cut up and everything all the time. And then eventually he was just like, I don't know, I think he maybe got sick from all that. I want to say he was poisoned at some point, and he got really sick. Yeah, by a neighbor, we believe.
That's horrible.
Like him in his yard,
right?
So we brought him to have him put to sleep, and yeah, and while they were cool pets and everything, like I say, we didn't regard them as, oh my God, it's our little, you know, whatever his name is. We weren't like that. And pet hospice care, they refer to palliative care as, you know, the same thing. So it's an option if your pet is suffering from a terminal illness and a cure is not possible.
Right. So it really isn't palliative care in human terms, but like you say, it's a different market, as it were.
And then, of course, euthanasia, providing a painless, peaceful end for a pet who would otherwise continue to suffer.
Right. Just like they should do with humans.
In my time of dying, I want no one to moan.
Thank you.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
And next on the show, Iced Earth and Alkaline Trio.
Cutting off the
Alkaline Trio there for you this morning on Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Before that, Iced Earth playing some extra music for you here this morning on the show. And up next, Frank Marino, an amazing Canadian guitarist, primarily plays an SG. First time I saw him would have been on the Don Kirshner show back in the late 70s, I guess it was. No YouTube, obviously. So it was a TV show, and yeah, it was pretty awesome. But I've seen some more recent clips of him in his home studio, I think, reviewing gear and stuff. But what an excellent guitar player. Great Canadian guitar player. Frank Marino. And this is a song called Ain't Dead Yet.
Down.
And that all takes us beyond the realms of death.
Goodbye. And then he died. I've left the world.
You're listening to Big JD and Lip in the Morning. Today's show, we have talked about end of life. What do we got for the fine folks next week?
Hygiene.
So we'll talk about cleanliness, manscaping, metrosexualness.
Ooh, I love it.
Maybe how to deal with people that don't smell very good in your workplace, perhaps. And should you say something? Can you say something?
And what do you say?
And that's next week on Big JD and Lipo in the Morning. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Bye-bye.
Be sure to join us here next week for more Big JD and Lipo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lipo Facebook page.
I was thinking about something else, too, that would be cool. Then I lost it, whatever it was, but it was really, really cool.